Did you ever wonder what Jesus is doing right now? Well, if you've been a Christian for some time, you know He ascended to the Father. He's at the Father's right hand, but He's doing something. He's actually doing something that you're involved in. He's doing something that if you could understand it, it would blow your mind. That's today. Stay with me.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and in this program, Chip continues his series, Jesus Unfiltered. You know, I heard a phrase a long time ago, but it really stuck. It's simple. If I'd only known. Wouldn't a ton of things be different if you'd only known? And doesn't it kind of make you want to sit up and pay better attention? I've thought about that many times. Well, today's kind of one of those game-changer type days, so let's join Chip now for part two of his message from John chapter 17, The Time Is Now.
Jesus came to give His life to pay for your sin and mine and for everyone, whosoever. Even people that reject Him, He still loves them. He's made the offer. He's praying, back then, was praying for us. God knew that we would be in this room, in this place, at this time of history, with all that's happening in America, with all that's happening in the Middle East, with all that's happening with terrorism, with all that's happening with the movement of technology, with all the things that are happening in terms of morality and family, He knew that we would be here. And so since our time is coming, do you know what Jesus is doing right now? He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. You know what the Holy Spirit is doing? He leads us in our prayers. And when we don't quite have the words to know exactly what to pray, Romans chapter 8, in groanings too deep, He's praying for us. I don't know how all this works, but we must need a lot of prayer. And it must be supernatural to live this life. And notice He said, that I might be in them. Jesus, as He's praying, He wants us to understand, like He wanted those disciples to understand, it's not just that I love you, the Father loves you in the same way that He loves me. Can you get your head around that? If you ever get lonely, you feel insecure, you wonder about the future, Jesus said that my heavenly Father actually loves you as much as He loves me, and I love you that way. What are we all looking for in life? Aren't we honestly just looking to be deeply loved and accepted and have a purpose and a plan? And Jesus is saying, that's why I came. And so here's the what that He prayed for us. He prayed that we'd be unified with Him and unified with each other. He also prayed that we'd be glorified, that there would be a day that, you know, we actually would be glorified, because 1 John would say a little bit later, we don't know what we'll be like. But here's what we know. When we see Him, Jesus, we will be like Him. And that we'll share in this new kingdom. And that we would experience the love of God. By the way, this idea of oneness may be the most poorly interpreted or misused verse in all the years. The unity He's talking about here is not uniformity. He's talking about a union of mind and heart and will. He's saying, just as the Father and the Son have a oneness of heart, a love for one another, they're one in that way, so I want us to be one with Him. And you think of the oneness, think of if you could just quickly, in your mind's eye, go through the book of John and listen to all the times Jesus said, I can do nothing apart from the Father. I only act as I see Him act. Jesus lived in total dependency on the Father. Jesus lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what He's actually saying. He's praying that we would be so in sync with the Father and the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit in the same way that Jesus would. In other words, we would obey from the heart out of a love relationship. That our decisions, that our lifestyles, that the words that come out of our mouth would reflect our relationship with God. This isn't some ecumenical sort of everyone will be one in one big organization. He's not saying that at all. He's saying that we would be so connected in our hearts with God the Father, with God the Son, and the Spirit living within us. Are you ready for this? My translation would be that we would be Christians that live like Christians. That's what he means by being one with him. And then he says, I want you to be one with one another. In other words, that we would love each other the way Jesus loved the disciples. What would he do? He laid down his life for them. He spoke the truth in love. He made radical, radical sacrifice. Being a follower of Jesus isn't coming to a meeting, and it's not just some sort of external morality. It's not even being a part of a cause and helping people. Being a follower of Jesus is having your heart and your life so connected to him that what matters to him matters to you. And so the poor matter. A lady with two young kids that has cancer matters. Someone that can't pay their rent matters. A school of people that have come and it's a lousy school and the facilities are terrible, it matters to him, so it matters to us, so we step out. And it's always both things. It's always by our deeds and by our words. We proclaim clearly, this is who Jesus is, and this is relationship with him, and this is the power, and this is why we do what we do. But here's the deeds that demonstrate. It's not just talk. Does that make sense? Review. Jesus is going to walk through his test. He will... After all these years, be betrayed of all ways by a kiss, because the lights will be low and there'll be a pretty large group of people with weapons and Judas will kiss him. He's the one. Everyone will flee. He'll be absolutely alone, go through 3 mock trials. He'll be falsely accused. He'll be beaten with an inch of his life. I mean, it's humiliating for anyone to be stripped and beaten. But can you fathom? Can you even fathom the creator of the world so loving the object of his creation, but so allowing us to have choice that his own plan would be to fully man, fully God, and be stripped and beaten and rejected by the very people that he made? In order that his death could accomplish the payment price to redeem whosoever would. The humility of God is staggering. The love of God is just, it's beyond comprehension. By the way, all of your real spiritual growth and life transformation, it is rooted in understanding and grasping that God loves you totally apart from your performance. He doesn't love you if, he doesn't love you because. And when you and I, little by little by little, by being in his word and encouraging one another and taking steps of obedience, the more and more we begin to experience that, then we can love. And we can love people that are different and people who disagree and even people who might even hate you or disagree in violent ways. It raises the question for me, if this is how Jesus responded and this is how he prayed, how should we pray? I'm guessing there's more than a few of us that are facing difficulty, right? When Jesus faced difficulty, he prayed for himself, he prayed for others, and he prayed for future believers that would come out of the ministry. So let's do a little application. How should I pray for myself? Well, here's the what. Out of this passage, I would suggest that you need to pray that you might know Christ and make him known. You know, I've heard people talk about like it's unholy and I never pray for myself. Well, Jesus prayed for himself. I'm thinking maybe if you don't, you ought to start. Right? It's not spiritual not to pray for yourself. Jesus prayed for himself. And I would say the number one thing you can pray is if he came to give eternal life, and if eternal life is a growing, dynamic, developmental thing, I would begin to pray, God, I want to know you. That's what Paul prayed in Philippians 3, right? Compared to everything else, I want to know you. David prayed, this one thing I ask of the Lord that I'll seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. There's something. Ask God to create a desire. Ask God to open your mind, open your eyes, that you might really know him and testify. and that you would make him known. You'd make him known by how you talk, make him known by how you drive, make him known by what you do with your money, make him known by how you interact with your family, make him known by what you specifically say about him at work and in your neighborhood. Pray, ask God, I want to know you, and I want to make you known. The second thing I would encourage you to pray is that you would finish the work assigned to you, and you might jot down Ephesians 2:10. We're saved by grace, Ephesians 2:8-9, and the very next verse says that we are his workmanship. Literally, the word is his poem or his work of art, created unto a good work that God has prepared for us. And the idea is before the foundations of the earth. There's something. Is this amazing? There's something that only you can accomplish in the kingdom of God. Your background, your hurts, your difficulties, your pains, your personality, your spiritual gifts, this time in history, everything leading up to, there's something that God, he has a work for you to do. I would pray, God, help me to see very clearly what it is and help me not get distracted and to finish the work. And I've said this a lot of times, so I'll keep saying it. One of the greatest gifts Teresa gave me was, she put it in a little frame, and it's Acts 20:24, and it's the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul writes, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by God, the work of telling about his love and wonderful kindness to everyone. I'd like you to bow your head because I want you to start practicing. And I want you just right now, you quietly in your own mind and heart, you can whisper if you like, but I want you to ask God to help you to know him as he is and to make him known. And I want you to ask God to show you what your individual work is, and probably a lot of you already know what it is, and to do it. I want you to pray for you right now. Oh God, I don't know that there would be anything that you would just love to answer more than hearing one of your daughters or one of your sons say, oh God, will you please help me to really know you? Lord, would you give me a hunger for your word? Would you help me to talk with you all throughout the day? Would you help me to rub up next to people that know you even better? And then, Lord, would you use me to make who you really are known to people at my job, people in my neighborhood, people at the gym, people at the coffee shop, people at the dry cleaners, people where I hobby. Lord, I pray that even this week in a fresh way, you'll do that in every single person's life. And we come boldly in Jesus' name. Second, I think we need to pray for others. And I think Jesus gives us a good model. He prayed for protection, and he prayed for sanctification. That's kind of one of those big words. The word literally means to be set apart. In fact, you might write in your notes, in this context, it has the idea of being consecrated or literally dedicated. What he's praying is that they would be personally pure, but they would step out to the task of testifying by the power of his word and fulfill the assignment that God has given him. So he says, Lord, I'm praying that you'll set them apart, not just for their relationship with me, but for the task that I've assigned to them. And then he says, do it by your word, because your word is truth. And then notice the very next line was, now I'm sending them forth just like you sent me. So this is a prayer for their personal protection within and without, but it's also a prayer for their personal holiness before God, and it's also a prayer that they would boldly carry on the mission, that they would continue to do what was started. This is really a picture of, you know, in track where the guy runs with the baton and the guy puts his, or the gal puts her hand back here. This is a passing of the baton where he's taking the mission to reach the world with the truth and the love of God. And he's taking it and placing it, and he's praying that they would be effective in doing that. He's also praying for protection. Are there two people you can think of right now that need prayer for your protection and prayer that they would fulfill what God wants them to do with their life? Maybe their best friend, maybe it's a roommate, maybe it's someone at work, maybe it's one of your kids. See, if we have a nice message about, oh, this was nice, Jesus prayed, and this doesn't change how we pray, then we've totally missed the point. Because I've actually been tempted to do this with myself. Because don't you get in ruts in your prayer life? Okay, no one's going to admit that one. I get in ruts in my prayer life, and if I've been tempted to, like, record my prayer. I wonder how many people where in heaven it's, and Lord, and Lord, and Lord, and Lord, and will you help me with this, and will you help me with that, and will you help me with that, and will you help me be happy, and would you make this work out, and will you, you know, gimme, 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 gimme. I wonder what would happen if we said, I'm going to pray for myself to know God and make him known, and I'm going to pray that I figure out exactly why he put me on the earth, and I finish it and do it, and then I'm going to pray for others that God would protect them, give them joy within and protection from evil without, and then I'm going to pray that they discover exactly what he wants them to do and that you will set them apart and make them holy and pure and stay on task. Guess what we're going to do? You got it. I'd like you to bow your head, and I want you to pray for a couple people. If you only have time for one, that's fine, but I want you to pray for someone's spiritual protection and for their sanctification, that they would be dedicated to the calling that God has upon their life and be faithful to it and be empowered to do it. Father, as I pray for my kids and just people I feel responsible for, I think of Colossians 1, verses 9 through 11. And so I want to pray that for everyone in this room. Lord, I pray that everyone in this room would grow in the real knowledge of who you are, that you would give them with spiritual wisdom and understanding exactly to know your will, that they could walk in a manner that is worthy of you every minute of every day, and that that would result in you being pleased with every aspect of their life, and that they would bear fruit in every good work, living in such a way that they would grow in the real knowledge of who you are. God, when that happens, like the first domino, all the other areas of their life will fall into place. So increase their faith, Father. Help them to know your will. Help them to follow it. Help them to get through barriers. Help them to trust you when they struggle. Remove fears. And I ask you to do that in Jesus' name. The final thing that Jesus prays for is future believers. And how should we pray about the future? I would guess that maybe two things we could pray is that God will give us a testimony with the outside world, and he would give us a testimony with one another. So the two things I pray about, you know, Jesus prayed what? He prayed that they would be one, like the Father and Son is, that they would live their life and that they would love one another. Two things I want to pray for us is that we would be bold, that God will give you a bold testimony to testify with integrity, to testify with your life, to testify with your words, to be that unusual person in your neighborhood or at the gym or at the coffee shop, that you would boldly and unashamedly, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I believe he's fully man, fully God. He died for my sin. He rose from the dead. I don't have to preach at all. I just want to tell you what I've seen and heard and how he's changed my life. That's God's desire.
Chip's coming back with a final thought, but if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. His message today is from Testify, Volume 4 of his series, Jesus Unfiltered. You know, the very last thing Jesus did was to task us with a mission to testify. For each of us, that takes on a different look, but the common denominator is to speak the name of Jesus and tell others what his love has done. Just listening to this once probably won't give you the confidence or the boldness to take the next step toward fulfilling that mission. So let me encourage you to get the free Chip Ingram app and go through the series again. Let the Holy Spirit build your confidence so you can testify in a confident, winsome way. For discounted resources of this series, you'll find Testify on our website, livingontheedge.org. Well, Chip, the courage to speak up for what I believe can seem great theoretically, but then in the moment, it just kind of seems to evaporate. There are all kinds of reasons, most of them not true, that stop me from doing what I know I'm called to do.
Yeah, Dave, I think that is so true. I mean, this is very strong, clear teaching from Jesus himself. And at times I feel overwhelmed and I get convicted and I realize I'm trying and trying and trying in some areas and then I just feel stuck. Well, I want you to know I developed a habit about 30 years ago. When I would get stuck, what I realized was I was believing lies or I'd have struggles that continued over and over and over, and I needed to attack the lies, not just my behavior or my emotions. And so I came up with these cards, and we call them the Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards. For example, I get frustrated when people interrupt my schedule, when they cut in front of me, because down deep what I believe is my stuff, my time, and me is more important than other people. Now, that's hard to actually admit. So what I wrote on the card is, I get frustrated and angry when people interrupt my life, ... And then I write on the bottom, stop. Then I flip the card over, and from John 13, Jesus says, if I, being your Lord and Master, serve you, blessed are you when you do this for one another. And so what I realize is that blessedness comes from service. But instead of trying hard and beating myself up, these truth cards, I read them over in the morning, I read them over at night, I identify a few lies, and then I get the truth. And so we've made these up for you. And let me tell you, it has radically changed my life. The Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards are available to you. Love to put them in your hands because transformation doesn't happen by trying hard. Transformation happens by renewing our minds.
Well, the Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards are available now while supplies last when you go to our website, livingontheedge.org. Each of these 21 cards has a common lie or spiritual battle we all face. And on the flip side, it has a passage from the Gospel of John to help you renew your mind with the truth. Whether they're for you or someone else, order your set of Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards and get free shipping by calling us at 1-888-333-6003 or order online at livingontheedge.org. Well, now here's Chip with a final thought.
As we wrap up today's program, I want you to think through what it means to testify boldly and to be a person of integrity who follows Christ. You know, as you come in contact with people, I mean today, not tomorrow, not next week, but just today, as you come in contact with people, here's my prayer, that they would sense tangibly the love of Christ. They would sense there's something about you they can't even put their finger on, and you might actually verbalize something, or you might be in a situation where you need to express it through some acts of kindness. In fact, are you ready? Let's all agree together to do some things that'll really make a difference. How about someone you know that's really struggling, that you buy them some groceries and drop it off? Or I did this the other day, just out of the blue, my dry cleaners is a really nice guy, and all the people who work there, as far as I know, are unbelievers. And I went and got a box of donuts, and I just said, hey, here you go, it's for the team. And they said, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, it's Friday. You guys been working hard all week. I thought you wanted a little break. And they looked at me like, you know, I had taken some drug. But every time I go in there now, there's a relationship, and they can't figure out that loony pastor who brings donuts to them. Or how about you know, buying coffee for the person behind you, and just with a quick word, not a you know, praise the Lord type thing, but just a little prompting that says, you know, I wanted to do that for you today, that God has been so good to me. I just sensed I wanted to bless you. What specific act of kindness could you do and let someone know that you're a follower of Jesus? Be bold today. God will use your acts of love to draw people to himself.
Well, just before we close, I want to say thanks to those of you who make this broadcast possible through your generous financial support. If you found today's program helpful but have never supported us financially, there's never been a better time than right now. When you give a gift to Living on the Edge, it'll be matched dollar for dollar, thanks to some very generous friends of the ministry. Making a donation is easy. Just go to livingontheedge.org and click the donate button on our homepage, or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. And thank you in advance for your generosity. Well, on Monday, Chip continues his series, Jesus Unfiltered, so I hope you'll make plans to join us then. For now, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.